One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it.
Bonjour.
Oh, French today. How are you?
Do you know what? It's really funny because do you know who Munya Chihuahua is? He's so funny. I absolutely love him. He's the one that does the Nigella Lawson impression.
Oh, I do know him. Yes. Yeah, I did know that was his name. Yeah.
He did a brilliant reel recently on Duolingo. And you know I'm doing Duolingo because I'm trying to get my Spanish better.
Yeah.
And then when you don't practice every day, Duolingo starts, like the face on the app starts going down. Oh. So it starts to get really sad and upset with you. And he's just done this hysterical reel that once you're in with Duolingo, it makes you feel like the best student in the world. But when you start going out of your daily streak, it starts to basically berate you and tell you that you're shit. So I'm now like sad face, like I haven't done it for a week. And I'm like, I'm such a letdown.
Oh no. So Duolingo is literally trolling you on your own phone.
Yes.
Oh my God. That is not what you want. That is it's like the flipping fitness watches though. I love them. But it's when it's like, time to stand, and I think, fucking hell, I've been standing up all day. I've just sat down for 5 minutes to have a cup of tea. Can you leave me alone? Time to stand? Are you joking?
It's basically standing there wagging its finger at you, judging you for your life choices.
Why are you sitting down? Yeah. Oh, don't. Yes.
Doesn't used to go out into the garden at like 9 o'clock at night if he hadn't completed his steps and just do loops during COVID. And I used to look at him out the window and he was just literally going around in a circle. And I was thinking, this is all because of that watch you've got on.
I see how it, like, you get to that point though. Like, when you've got, like, I need to do 10,000 or 20, whatever it is you set yourself a day, and you're really close, and you think, right, I'm just going to do it just to tick it off. Although I don't go walking around the garden, I literally just shake the watch.
Do you?
Yeah, I just shake the watch sitting down. So at least he actually got the steps in. I just cheat. So
do you know what you could do? You could put the watch on your walking board thing that you've got.
Oh, but then would it fall off the end?
Maybe it would fall off the treadmill, wouldn't it?
It would fall off the end.
Oh, we need to be able to attach it somehow.
I'm sure there is a way, though, to do that.
Let's see if we can beat the system, George.
Yeah, or maybe we should just go for a walk.
Do our steps.
Maybe that is the answer.
It's an interesting one from you, George. I'll ponder it.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm all good, thanks. I'm looking forward to this Q&A.
It's going to be great.
You know, we've been looking at the things that people have been sent in. So thanks so much for doing that. But I was going to ask you, actually, what is something that you, like, you wouldn't tell someone you do, or something that you do, like, sneakily around parenting that, because you might be judged?
Oh, God. I mean, there's so much. I mean, I sometimes, my kids are sometimes in the same uniform all week.
I love that.
I sometimes scrape food off and use like a baby wipe
just
to
on
get
the front.
Rid of any stains, and then hair dry, because I just sometimes haven't ironed them or can't be asked to wash them.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. Sometimes I don't change their bedding for way too long a time. And I just keep flipping the duvet over. Like on a good week, it's happening every week. On a bad week, it's 3 weeks. And I think, oh, well, how much dirt can they create?
And also most of the time, I mean, we all know not everyone showers and baths their kids every day. I definitely don't. Getting into bed clean, right? So that, yeah, I think that's all right. I think
that's fine, isn't it?
I think 3 weeks is fine. No, do you know what? That's why I asked you, because I actually found myself doing something on Sunday and I was almost like laughing at myself doing it. So as we know, I've always been quite smug with how Axel has grown up to eat well and like doesn't like fizzy drinks and all of this.
Yeah.
I now know it is nothing to do with anything I did. Okay. It was fluke. Because introducing Gigi, I did all the same things. Like, in fact, she was great as a baby. Then when she got her own mind, she's not like Axel when it comes to things like that. So I've never had to think about the fizzy drink thing and like how I feel about my kids drinking fizzy drinks or anything like that, because Axel's always been like, oh no, I don't like them. So it's been fine. And then we just not had them in the house and it's just not been a thing. Anyway, Sunday morning, it's 8:30. James has a paddle game. And I'm like, oh, do you know what? It's a nice morning. Let's go and watch him. There's a little cafe there. That'll be nice.
Yeah, you love doing that anyway.
Let's
like
go.
A cheerleader.
We don't sit near him or watch him. We just sit in the cafe. And I let the kids go in by themselves to order, because there's no one there and they like doing it. Like it's a bit of independence. So
yeah,
Axel
nice.
Comes out with a water and a bacon sandwich. And I'm like, great. Gigi comes out with a can of Fanta. And I'm like,
whoa,
Fanta at 8:30 in the morning. What? Like, don't know about this. So I quickly ran back in and I got a cup, just a plastic cup. And I poured the Fanta into the cup. And then I gave it to her because I thought, I can't have anybody seeing you drinking Fanta at 8:30 in the morning.
Oh, why? Okay.
Because I realised I would definitely judge someone for doing that. 100% I would. definitely would. Like, and I didn't realise quite how much until I'm making her hide the fact that she's chosen to drink Fanta at 8:30
Okay,
on
so
a
here's
Sunday
a question
morning.
For you. So here's a question for you then. Would you judge somebody for giving their child, let's say, a large amount of Nutella on toast for breakfast?
Well, no, that's what I mean.
What really
it's the
is
same.
The difference between a can
is.
Of Fanta and yeah. loads of sugary Nutella on your toast?
Exactly.
I don't know. I need to probably have
croissant.
A look at what the...
Probably yeah, the same amount of sugar.
It's really interesting
yeah.
what we hang on to and what we feel is right, in inverted commas, and what we feel is wrong.
I know. That's what I mean. I was thinking about it because I remember like when I used to commute into London and I'd see someone, especially drinking like an energy drink on the train.
Oh, yeah.
I would literally be like, oh my God, you are the worst human I've ever seen in my entire life. Like,
you are so judgy. Who knew?
Who knew about this kind of thing? And I remember thinking it. But if someone had been sat next to them drinking a Starbucks iced frappuccino with vanilla syrup, I wouldn't have thought anything, but they were probably just as bad. It's weird, isn't it? How you have these, like, I don't know. I felt like, oh my God, I'm letting my child drink Fanta at 8:30 in the morning. I'm like the worst person on earth.
Oh, George, you're not. Do you think
stupid.
She's got more of a penchant? Because Kit's definitely got more of a desire to eat sugar. Then
like
Luna and I
like,
understand it, but that he would just go with biscuits and, you know, crisps and sweets. And he doesn't like sweets, but chocolate. He's a chocolate head. He's an absolute fiend. And actually the other two can monitor themselves quite easy, but maybe it's the youngest child thing. I've got no idea.
I don't know.
I just think certain people are more prone to enjoying sweet and sugary things. And you're right, Gigi and Kit are those two people.
Yeah. But also I feel like Gigi's just more likely to do something that she's not supposed to. I don't know if it's
of
about
course
sugar.
She is.
I don't know if it's about sugar or sweets. I think it's more like she chooses the thing that she thinks is like the naughty
the worst.
Thing. Yeah. Yeah,
I love her for that. I love her for
anyway,
that.
So, there we go.
So we're going to do today's Q&A on the kind of questions and statements and things that you're feeling that you wouldn't be able to even speak to your best mate about around parenting. So things like this and kind of asking us those questions to maybe potentially make you guys feel a bit better, because let's be honest, we're all going through it. we just might not say it. But today we will. George, yes. You're going to kick us off.
I'm going to kick us off with this one. My daughter had worms. I didn't tell anyone. I don't want anyone to think that we're unhygienic. Have your kids ever had worms? I feel quite embarrassed.
Oh my God. Firstly, may I just say, do not feel embarrassed. No. Okay. It doesn't mean that you're dirty.
No.
Worms are a parasite, which are passed on. And 100%, it's got nothing to do with your hygiene or what you're doing as a mother in terms of looking after your kids and making sure that they're clean. You can get them. They can be passed, obviously, from child to child. Animals, you know, scrabbling around in the dirt. Like Kit got, obviously, his parasite in Kenya from doing that. But yes, all my children have had worms.
I had worms
as a child. Yeah.
Oh, no, I think I had worms recently. Like when normally if one of your kids gets worms, the whole family end up getting it and you have to take that funny old drink, like whatever it is. It's like a banana drink, isn't it? A little shot.
Oh, we just take the tablet. Is it Orvex or something?
We take that, but it's not the tablet. It's liquid form and it's tastes like banana. But yeah, I think it's completely normal and it's definitely nothing to be embarrassed about or think you're definitely not unhygienic. No.
Kit had hookworm and tapeworm when he came back from Kenya. There's nothing quite like shining a torch in your son's arse and seeing a tiny little worm hanging out the end of it and thinking, fuck, now we're all going to get it. But you know what? Please don't feel embarrassed. Don't hold any shame around it. It's completely normal. And I reckon everybody listening to this podcast, if you haven't had worms yet, they're heading in your direction.
They're heading your way.
Exactly. Yeah. Best friend went completely off, rude and upset with me when I was pregnant. Only directed at me. Other friends with kids she was fine with. Now she's had a baby. She's been back to normal with me and obviously asking for all the advice. Other best friend and husband say I should front her about it and I think should just let it go. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's difficult because just where you've said my best friend went completely off and upset with me when I was pregnant, I wonder, and now she's had a baby, she's back to normal with me. I do wonder if maybe she was going through some fertility issues or something and she found it really hard to see you pregnant. I don't know. I might be completely wrong.
It comes from resentment. It might not have been fertility issues, but she might have been desperate. Firstly, I think she might have felt that she was going to lose you as
maybe,
a friend because you were in a completely different stage to her that she didn't understand. All of that, when someone gets upset and goes off the radar, it comes from micro resentments that build up inside that we find really, really hard to share with the people closest to us. So actually, she should have. But I get why she didn't. Maybe sat you down and said, do you know what? I'm actually finding this really hard because she didn't want to say that to you because it's the happiest time in your life.
Exactly.
So, and then suddenly she might have felt, well, what are we going to have in common? And, you know, how can I be there for her? Because she's going to be in a different stage. Now she's had her baby. Of course she wants you because you've been through it. So if it was me, would I bring it up now? Maybe not. I would have maybe brought it up at the time.
Yeah, I think it just depends on you and how you feel. Like if you've put, I think, should I just let go? I don't know if that's you saying you think you should just let it go. If that's what you think, do not feel like you have to front her up because your best friend and her husband say that you should. I think it's completely down to how you feel. Like you don't have to do anything, you know? Like if you're happy with how it is now, great. You know, you move on. That's fine. If you don't feel like you can without addressing it, then do address it for sure. But yeah, I probably wouldn't but that's just me and I'm not in that situation right now.
I think if it's still something that is coming up for you, as in if it's impacting your relationship with her day to day and you're now finding it, you're now thinking, well, hang on a minute, where were you when I was pregnant? Now you want me to be here for you and you can't let that side of it go, then I would share it with her. But if you've gone, do you know what? Actually, if I reflect, we were in very different, you know, stages of our life and actually that was then and now is now and you can really be there for her and lean on her because she's probably now going through all those things and she's got you. So if you can find that forgiveness, maybe too much time's passed.
It's down to how you're feeling for sure. This is an interesting one actually. Do you ever feel like you're closer bonded or bonded better? Sorry, do you ever feel like you're closer or bonded better with one of your kids? And what do you do about it? I feel so guilty.
George?
I mean, I don't necessarily know if I feel bonded, like a closer bond with one of my kids than the other right now. But I do think it's possible that you go through stages where you might feel like that. Also, just let's just address as well, if there's anything been from the start that might have affected your bond, like any trauma or anything like that, then absolutely, you know, that is, I'm sure that's completely normal, but it might be something you need to go and talk to somebody about. But if that isn't the case, I do think that you can go through, yeah, phases where you might feel closer to one child than the other. Like, for instance, I'm sure there was times where I felt closer to Axel than Gigi because I could communicate better with him. You know, we could have, I guess, more fun together. We could have more of a laugh together. But then there'll have been times where I felt like more, like closer to Gigi because we spend more time together as well. Like when Axel was at school, she wasn't at school. I had, you know, I saw her more. I think now there's definitely, like, James and Axel do more stuff together. Like, you know, on a Saturday, James will take Axel off to football. I take Gigi off to do her activities. I definitely think I spend more time with Gigi, like at the weekends and stuff. Yeah, just naturally, like at the moment. And I do think, like, I don't know, especially as kids get older, I think maybe you are going to be closer to, you know, one child than the other. Just naturally.
Yeah, it's not about,
like,
love,
not,
is it? It's not about love.
No.
Yeah. That's really interesting, George, that you shared that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, yeah, I don't know. I just think you probably will go through phases like that. But if it is, like, really eating you up and, you know, you want to get to the root of it, then I do think it might be worth speaking to someone before it, like, festers and becomes, like, a bigger issue. Yeah. What would you say?
I think it's really normal. Yeah. I think, firstly, it's really normal. I think if you spoke to anybody about this, they would have experienced this at certain points during their parenting journey. I know I grew up in a household where my mum always favorited me.
Yeah.
I mean, she openly said it to me and my sister and my poor sister. So I'm not suggesting that you're doing that. But I think that's quite a dangerous, you know, that definitely impacted us kind of long term, where she was just like, oh, you know, well, me and Zoe, we're just so intertwined. And and I was thinking, shut up, you've got another daughter standing next to you.
Yeah.
Like, it was a really weird approach. And I know that my mum also has that with my three, that she's, like, obsessed with Luna and always talking about it. And I have to pull her up on that and say, please, can you stop saying that in front of the other kids? You know, Luna just crawled into my heart and she's just got a firm place there. And I'm thinking, well, what about the other two? So there is, I think that's one extreme. I think George is right. It does depend on your very unique situation. I've got some very close friends who've got three children, two girls and a boy, and one of the girls is quite tricky. And I know that she's feeling really not that connected with her. And her other daughter, they really sing with each other and they're very similar creatures. And I know that she does battle with that. And I think, again, let's reiterate, this isn't about how much you love your children, but potentially maybe, firstly, don't feel guilty, leave the guilt at the door. And I think secondly, maybe try and spend some one-on-one time doing an activity that your child, that you're not as close to at the moment, would love to do, and see if you can encourage that bond. You know, we're the grown-ups, we have to maybe try and, you know, figure out a way of doing that. And it's not always going to look rosy, but that might be a nice thing to do.
Yeah, no, that's true. And do you know what? It's interesting, isn't it? Because I think, especially when you've got adult children, you know, like when you all grow up, I can imagine that it's natural to get on better with one, like, of your children than the other, because you've got more in common. And I just, I don't know. It's an interesting one, though. Yep. Never something that I've thought about. We'll be right back after this short break.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we?
Here's an interesting one. My 2.5-year-old still has a bottle at night. All I see online is that he shouldn't be having milk at night. Terrible for his teeth. It's a sleep crutch, making a rod for my own back, etc., etc. But the reality is, it's just milk. I need to wait for 10 minutes or hours of screaming. And I actually don't mind. Well, if you don't mind, you're his parent.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Don't read all that stuff online, because who the hell is making that stuff up anyway? If your child needs milk at night and it soothes and settles him, give him some milk.
Yeah.
He's not going to be doing it when he's 10, is he? So don't worry.
Exactly. I was just going to say that if it doesn't bother you, then like that's your answer. Like, it's absolutely fine. I remember Gigi had a bottle before bed until she was just before she was 3. And he never used to bother me. Like, I just thought, well, you know, like, it helps her go to sleep at night. Like, she sleeps well having it before bed. Like, I don't really know what, like, yeah, what's the issue? Like, what is the issue? And especially if they only have it at night, I very much doubt it's going to really affect their teeth. I mean, I might be wrong, but I can't imagine one bottle is really going to do much.
Of course it's not. Yeah. Listen, your child needs it.
Yeah.
And if it's something that he needs and it's something that helps you get a good night's sleep, you know, maybe there'll be a certain point that you might think, right, we probably need to, you know, make a change here, and might need to go through a couple of weeks of pain, but we'll come out the other side of it fine. But he's 2.5, he's so little.
Yeah.
Listen, like, honest, you got thumbs up from us. Do whatever you need to do.
Yeah, definitely don't worry about it. Any experience with gender disappointment?
No, but we've done a podcast. Who was it that came on to speak about her gender disappointment?
I think actually James.
Yes, it was.
Actually James, it was, because she said herself, she like really basically despised men. Like, growing up, she kind of got it into her head that, yeah, she didn't like men and she was going to be disappointed having a boy. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's gone on to have a little girl as well. Please go back and have a listen to that podcast, because that's actually one of the only times that anyone's ever been honest around gender disappointment.
Yeah.
It is a thing.
It definitely is a thing.
I haven't experienced it, but it is a thing.
Yeah.
I think it's normal.
Yeah, I think it's normal. And I also think as well, like, it's very normal when you're, you know, you conceive and you find out you're pregnant to start picturing, you know, the child you're going to have, the baby you're going to have, as a certain gender. And then if you find out that it's different to what you sort of imagined in your mind, having that disappointment. And also as well, I think you hear so much of, you know, I don't know, people having 3 boys and then having a girl because they were just desperate to have a girl. And I just think it's kind of only natural that people have those feelings. But anyone I've talked to who's had, you know, my best mate's got 3 boys, does she say she, you know, when she was pregnant, did she think, oh, actually, it'd be nice to have a girl? Yeah, of course she did think that. But does she think that now? No. You know, like, she doesn't feel like that now.
No.
And she... But I do think it's normal, and it's just something that, I don't know, I guess people don't want to admit, but I think so many people will have felt it, for sure.
Do you know what? I think people have this weird script that they have to say to people. So if you were to share that with somebody, people would go, oh, but you know, aren't you just grateful that you've got a child and it's healthy? And you're like, no, of course I am. I'm not one doesn't cancel out the other one.
Exactly.
They're not linked. Yes, of course I'm so happy that my child is healthy and happy. But in my heart, I had my heart set on having a little girl or whatever it was.
Or a little boy.
Of course,
exactly.
I'm not gonna feed that, or a little boy. And when the baby arrives, it will be the best thing that's ever happened to me. But I do have that disappointment around it. And actually somebody should be able to hold that. We're holding it for you. We're holding that space for you. We understand
and I think definitely talk to people about it, because it's just one of those things that it's like ripping a plaster off, isn't it? If you're like the first person to just do it and talk about it, you will probably find that people in your circle say, I felt the same.
Let's move on to this one, feelings of guilt. failure as a mum if you work. Oh my God, me and you are soul sisters. Me and Georgia are soul sisters. And what we're all soul sisters if we feel that. I feel it constantly. Do you know what? It's the conversation that comes up the most in the house between me and the kids. They never say it to Doz. Dozer is up and out of the house at 5:15 every single day. His alarm goes off. He goes to the gym for 2 hours before work and then he's gone for the rest of the day. Okay, so I'm working from home, in and out of London, you know, I do a school drop off, I might do the pickup, you know, but if I'm not there, like the last 3 days I haven't done the pickup, I get so much static from the kids. Why do you need to work? Why are you not like one of those mums that's there all the time at the school gates? You know, I don't understand it. Like, can't you just be here all the time? Do you love your job more than you love us? Is a lot. I get that a lot. And I'm like, listen, I just break it down constantly to them saying, firstly, I absolutely love my career and my job. Secondly, do you want to go on holiday to Ibiza for 2 weeks in the summer? Because if you do, I have to work to pay for that. Would you like to have a nice kitchen? Because I'm working towards that as well. Would you, you know, and I try and really break it down for them. But I think it's really fascinating how they do it to me and don't do it to him.
Yeah, that is interesting. I think I don't really get that much from the kids, to be honest with you. Like, they don't really give me much pushback or question, like me being at work. They have started recently. So I think I mentioned it on here before Christmas. We had a nanny called Natalie who has looked after the kids for maybe like 2.5 years, something like that. She used to pick them up from school 3 days a week. Before Christmas, she said that she couldn't do it anymore and she could only do 1 day a week, which obviously was disappointing. They love her, but it's not the end of the world because the kids have got a really good after school club at school that you can book ad hoc. They have now started pushing back on that. So like, for instance, today I'll say, guys, you're going to be at after school club today because mummy's working. Oh, where are you working though? Where are you working? Yeah. Are you actually working? Where are you going? Are you going to be at home? And I'm like, yeah, I'm working at home.
Yeah.
Well, just come and get us then. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. No, I can't do that because I still have to do the work. Oh, but we don't want to. And I actually think a lot of it comes from them, like, there's no consistency. So with James, consistently since the day they were born, he has gone out of the house to work every day.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
That's what's happened. Like, that's just been it. They've never known any different. Whereas I haven't. So I did when Axel was, I've had a year off with him, but when I went back to work, I went to the office every day. And then with Gigi, I was home a bit more. And then it's like, now I work from home most of the time. So I'm around a bit more like you. I'm in and out. I do the pickups sometimes. I do the drop-offs every day. Like, and I think maybe is that why that we feel guilty because we're kind, I don't know, are we trying to be both? Is that what we do? Like,
both. Like, we're everything. Like, we're all of it. We're upside down and inside out. We're like, we're all of it, and we are trying to do it all. And and so is Doz in my household. You know, it's very, very equal around that. But I think please don't feel like a failure because at the end of the day, you are providing for your family. And financially, if you need to, you have to, or just because you really love your job, that doesn't mean that you are letting your children down. And I think it's really important for us to continually repeat to the children, mummy's here. You know, you're my priority, but mummy also has these other responsibilities to fill. And Luna's starting to get it now. Kit doesn't. Yeah. He tells me he's sad all the time. And that's just him pulling on my heart. I know what he's doing because he's not sad all the time. He's the happiest kid around. So I understand that. But let's take away that guilt. You're doing an incredible job.
Exactly.
And like, I'm saying it to myself as well. I'm not going to hold on to it because I did for a really long time. It made me feel really sad. So, yeah. Don't you worry.
Don't, no. And actually, we all feel it, you know. I don't think it ever goes away completely, but I think you can train yourself to not let it come into your mind as much.
Indeed. Can we do a sex one here to finish off? Because there's a couple of sex ones.
Of course we can. There are a few sex ones. They are pretty much all very similar.
Yes.
It's about, you know, someone here has put how to have sex with all the excitement of making babies, but without... Oh, no, this is different. How to have sex with all the excitement of making babies without making more babies. And ideally, which contraceptives to use that do not mess with natural lubricant and libido. Wow.
Mm.
That is a topic of conversation in my friendship group all of the time.
Is it really?
Yes.
Is it really?
Because nobody wants to go on the pill anymore in my friendship group.
Nope.
No, like, and actually colleagues that I talk to, like, everyone is kind of in that space now, I think, where, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, which, I don't know, I guess, yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, you're not on any contraception, are you, George?
No, because James is having a vasectomy.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, we're going to have his tiny cajonas in our handbag where dozers are.
Yes, exactly. They can join join the club.
Oh my God, I've got to tell you the vasectomy story. Not Dozer's vasectomy story, but before Dozer had his vasectomy, he only spoke to a couple of people about it. And one guy who's an absolute he's a fruit of the fucking loom, this guy. He was like, do you know, thing is, right, I was so worried about me load. And Dozer was like, what? And he was like, I was really worried, you know, like, if I had the vasectomy, that I wouldn't be able to spunk everywhere because I love spunking everywhere. And I was cracking up at dinner. Oh, I was like hyperventilating. And he goes, so what I do? I thought it was going to take away my essence, you know, like being one of those bulls, like put out to pasture in a field. But guess what? You can still spunk everywhere after you have a vasectomy. I was like, oh my God, stop talking about spunking everywhere. So there is quite a lot of fear because of these ridiculous stories that men are telling each other. It's a very simple procedure and you can get it done on your lunch break. And actually, if you are done having your babies, I would highly recommend having that conversation with your husband. We have birthed children. We have carried them. We have nurtured them. It's their turn to go and have a little procedure where they burn through your tube. Get on
exactly.
with it.
But if that isn't an option and, you know, you still don't, you know, you still think maybe we want to have more kids further down the line, then there are loads of other things. Like, I know people who use natural cycles. And I think if you use it like, to book, like as in take your temperature at the same time every morning when you're laying down before you get up, it's really effective. I think Dr. Zoe Williams actually spoke about it a lot when it first launched. So maybe it's worth checking out something like that.
I had the Myrina coil fitted and I can highly recommend it. I spotted for the first, on and off for the first, I've got to be honest, 5-6 months, there was a bit of spotting and there was sort of random bleeds. But I haven't had a period now for nearly 2 years.
Wow.
And, you know, again, some people get on with it, some people don't, but I can really, really recommend that one. I had the IUD, is that what it is? The implant in your arm?
Yeah.
That didn't work for me. I bled for nearly a year and I just got so sick of it, on and off, bleeding, bleeding, bleeding. I had to have that taken out. But I think you can either get the Myrina one or you can get the non-hormonal coil.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, actually, my friend went to the doctor after she'd had a coil fitted and she said, sorry, like this, the coil is sending my hormones everywhere. Like it's not right. Blah, 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 blah. I'm going crazy. Really, really like saying how much it was affecting her. Yeah. And she had the non-hormonal one.
Oh, really?
And we were like, oh yeah, no, that is just you. That's just you. It really made me laugh. But yeah, there are so many options.
Could we move on to just quickly as a last point, because there were a lot around, I really hate having sex since having children. It doesn't feel good anymore. I've got no confidence left. I really want to get the spark back with my husband. What do I do? So I really want to answer this because I think it's a really, really big one. And I definitely don't have the magic formula, by the way, but I want you to ask yourself the question, when was the last time you had an orgasm? So I'm not going to ask you that, George, but I want you to ask yourself that to everyone listening. When was the last time that you had an orgasm? Now, I think it's so in my 20s or before my children, I was attached to my dildo. I was coming every single day. Any opportunity I got, even a spare 10 minutes during the day when I was on my own, I was like, and I definitely felt really sexual as a result of it because I was just climaxing and just feeling really great and in tune with my body. So ask yourself the question, have you had an orgasm since you've had your children? If the answer is no, or you can't remember, I would highly recommend just working on yourself and tapping into your own sexuality first again. Because as caregivers and as mothers, we have spent the last however long looking after another person above ourselves, and sex and intimacy and orgasms is about us. So I would recommend, we can link some on Instagram for you guys, is to invest in a really, really, really great dildo. I'm not talking about a massive one that you shove inside yourself. I'm talking about an external dildo, which can give you a clitoral orgasm. Start doing that. You don't even have to talk to your partner about it at the beginning if you don't want to. My one, you can take in the shower. Brilliant.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, waterproof. And just see how that feels for you, because that might re-engage yourself into the feelings of intimacy. And then please talk to your partner and say, I love you, I fancy you, I want to reconnect, can we make some time to do it? And then try not to talk yourself out of having sex, because generally in the mornings I wake up, I go, today's going to be the day, today's going to be the day. And as the day goes on, I get more and more knackered.
Yeah,
you don't feel like it.
I was going to say, we've actually done quite a few episodes on sex, and to all the questions that have been sent in, it would definitely be worth going back and listening to those, because we deep dive a little bit more into it. And yeah, we just discuss it a bit more. But just, I mean, like anything we've discussed on this podcast, it's completely normal, and so many people feel like you do. So yeah, go back and have a listen, and then I won't have to go back through it again, because we all know I hate talking about sex.
No, you used to hate talking about it, but now.
I'm all right now. I'm joking.
Good luck, good luck, good luck. You can get the spark back. You can. It just takes a bit of work. Like anything in your marriage or your relationship, it just takes a bit of work. But have faith. Sex is fun. Thank you so much for sending in all of your amazing questions. We love doing these Friday Q&As for you guys. So thanks again. As always, we'd love you to rate, review, subscribe, and please give our podcast a follow.
Yeah, and if you've got any suggestions for these Friday Q&As, then please do drop us a message on Instagram. We're on @MadeByMamas, and we'll be back on Tuesday.
Made by Mamas is an Insanity Studios production.
Today's episode was produced by the wonderful Charlotte Mason.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.